What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Churchosity Podcast. If you're looking for the spot to hang out and talk about all things church culture, but through the lens of a Gen Xer, then guess what? You have landed in the right place. My name is Heath Brady.
And I'm Andrea Brady.
And we are your faithful Churchosity Podcast personnel.
Back again.
Coming at ya.
I was changing it up.
You were
this
trying
time.
To change it
I
up.
I know. Got to change it up every
you
once in a while.
You caught me off guard, man.
I did. I've been thinking about it too.
Oh, thinking about something to say different, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, how are you today?
You really want to know?
I don't know. Do I really want to know?
Man, I am so upset. I am so incredibly upset right now.
Okay.
The Gen Xer in me is crawling out of my skin right now. You are not going to believe what I found out today.
What?
And it's kind of funny because you know how a few episodes ago I referenced the old movie Roadhouse with Patrick Swayze? I just found out that they're remaking it.
Oh, another remake?
Yes. And not only that, Patrick Swayze's character is going to be played by Jake Gyllenhaal.
Okay.
Which is like snooze fest. And then like the main bad guy that he has to fight is going to be played by Conor McGregor.
Oh.
The MMA guy.
Okay. Oh boy.
I'm just like, seriously, guys, like we have to remake another 80s classic. I mean, is Hollywood seriously that hurting for material?
I guess so.
Like, oh my gosh. So I'm a little peeved about that.
I'm
a little hot under the collar about that. Mm. So just look out, everybody.
Right. Well, they could have made it Roadhouse 2.
Oh, geez.
And these are all the children of the originals.
the son of Patrick Swayze's character from the first one comes back for revenge or something.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know.
That actually might be a better movie than a remake of the original. Good grief. Yeah, and it's 2024, which means it's an election year.
Yeah.
Mm. Which means I'm trying to make friends with all of the super elite and rich right now because they're all busy building these bunkers and I want to go hide in one until next February.
Oh my gosh. We could just hide in our house.
That is true.
Just have everything delivered.
Yes. Yes. I don't want to talk to anybody because I don't want anybody talking to me about politics.
Yeah. Are we adopting our policy where we're not going to talk about politics on the podcast?
We're going to do our best.
Okay.
The year is young, Andy.
Yeah.
It's still only January, technically.
Right.
There's stuff brewing behind the scenes that might be interesting to talk about in the not too distant future, but we are not a political show.
No, we're not.
There are certain things that we have kind of sworn and made an oath that we would not talk about, and I know politics is one of them. We've teetered close to the line a few times.
Right.
But we've never like had a full on episode like this week in the United States of America politics. Like, so I don't.
I'd
think
rather
so.
Talk about happy days, different strokes, and facts of life.
There you go. Word.
And Little House on the Prairie, of course.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
That would be a heck of a lot more fun than talking about politics.
Yeah.
But anyway, Andy, enough about me. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's because you stay off of the socials, unlike me.
Well, I've pretty much given up Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Never on that anymore because that's just a cesspool.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I'm kind of like an Instagram.
Instagram?
Sorry, I stuttered.
You Gen Xer.
Instagram.
The Instagram?
Yeah, but I don't know. Their reels are funny. I like TikTok a lot, but sometimes the reels on Instagram are a little more cute, I guess. Less ads.
And they're really funny, too.
They are really funny.
You sent me some really good ones today, in fact.
Yeah.
I haven't laughed that hard in a while. It was pretty good. But you're doing okay?
Yeah, good.
Doing pretty good?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastical. Well, I'm excited about this episode.
Yeah.
We are going to be, I think, concluding our conversation about seed planting, seed casting, seed sowing, etc. It's been an interesting conversation, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Lots of different perspectives. Yeah. I mean, ways to look at it, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get into that, though, I do have one question for you.
Yes.
How much are you loving what's going on the Patreon side?
Oh, it's cool. Yeah, I'm loving it. It warms my heart when people become a Patreon.
Yeah.
It encourages me to keep going. And I mean,
how much are you enjoying the content though on the Patreon?
Oh gosh, I forgot all about that.
How could you forget about that?
Well, you know, I was my perspective.
There we go.
Well, our Revelation series is seriously awesome.
Yeah.
And yeah.
Would you say that everybody needs to become a Patreon person today? So that they can take part in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually we might release the Revelation series to everyone, but they're going to have to wait a really long time for it.
Yeah, at the rate we're getting through the book, the Lord might come back before we're finished.
We are going through the book of Revelation with the fine-tooth comb. Or I shouldn't say we. I'm just along for the ride because I'm not the scholar like you are.
Oh, whatever.
I'm just the student. And so I'm sitting there, as you unveil all there is to know about the book of Revelation.
Mm.
And if you are a Patreon and are not currently going through the Revelation study with us, you're missing out big time because it's amazing.
Thanks, honey. I'm having a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Along those lines of what you mentioned about maybe someday releasing it to the quote-unquote free side of our podcast.
Yeah.
That is something that I do have planned to do, but I'm not going to do that until we're done.
Yeah.
So you may have to wait until who knows when. I mean, I don't know. Let's put it this way. There's 22 chapters in the book of Revelation. Our fourth episode in our study in Revelation drops on Wednesday the 31st, I think it is. And we're only midway through chapter 2. So yeah. If that's any kind of indication of how much time we're taking to dissect this for ourselves, you should get on board now.
Yeah.
So anyhow. Food for thought.
Mm-hmm.
Consider becoming a Patreon today. Look for us at patreon.com/churchositypod.
Do it.
All right, Andy, guess what?
What?
Business handled. We ready to continue our conversation about seed sowers?
I would love to.
Yes. Have you had enough of this conversation yet?
No.
No?
No.
That's good. Because I think that we may have saved the best for last. I think we may have saved the most funnest part of the conversation for last.
Okay.
We're going to get into the thick of it, I think, on this episode.
Okay.
And I think it's a little apropos that I'm so fired up after my revelation about the Roadhouse movie today.
Yeah.
Because while we spend a considerable amount of time talking about the concept of how we cast seeds into the lives of people around us, good seeds and bad seeds. Whether we like it or not, some of those seeds are bad because on this side of eternity, we are not perfect and we do get it wrong from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
And that the goal is to far outweigh the amount of good seeds that we are casting in the direction of others, right?
That the good seeds far outweigh the bad seeds.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
That did sound weird.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yeah. You're the brains in this operation. I say that all the time. And then we talked about that introspective, that self-reflective aspect of casting seeds, talking about the seeds that we cast into our own lives, the things that we prioritize and how they affect the way that we are around others.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on this episode, I want to have a conversation about the seeds that other people cast into our lives. Specifically, what to do with the bad seeds that are flung our way.
Yeah. Especially when they're put inside of a BB gun.
Right. Or a bazooka. or a machine gun.
Or they're dandelion seeds. Or seeds of thorns.
The ones that float up your nose and you choke and you can't get rid of them.
Right.
And they get caught in your clothes and stuff.
Or cottonwood.
Oh, that everybody's allergic to. Yeah.
Right.
I know that in the time that we live this life, mm-hmm. as a follower of Jesus Christ, we say it all the time that we should live and look through the eternal perspective and strive to be just like stellar ambassadors for Christ. Mm-hmm. Because I was talking with a buddy of mine recently, and he made this really great point that whether our example of Christ is a good one or a bad one, we are the example of Christ to others.
Right.
And I've said it before that we should do, as Christians, we should be doing everything we can to make Christ attractive, you know, to make following Jesus desirable.
Well, yeah, but we also don't want to give him a bad name.
That's what I mean by the bad example.
Like, right.
If people know that we're Christians and we act unbecomingly, mm-hmm. and they aren't Christians, then they would say things like, well, why would I want to, you know, do what you're doing, because there's no difference.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Or it's worse.
Or it's worse. Yeah. Are you sure that you're going to heaven, bro? Because I'm not even that bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to talk about those times when we're receiving seeds from others. Mm-hmm. When we're receiving treatment from others. Because let's be honest, it's not always rainbows and butterflies.
No.
The experience that we have with others, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There's people that just annoy us. There's people that rub us wrong. There's people that do things intentionally to get under our skin. And while the Bible doesn't condone punching someone in the face when they annoy you,
no.
As fun as that would be, sometimes, you know, I just want to smite someone in the name of Jesus. I do think that Scripture gives us some really good help when it comes to navigating the waters of tribulation brought on by others.
Mm-hmm.
I would advocate, just as a side note, a very important side note, I would advocate that you are not required to take that kind of treatment. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
You are not required to sit and be somebody's whipping stick. Like, you're just not required to do that. Mm-hmm. But what we are required to do is love.
Right.
What we are required to do is be tolerant. And so the conversation I wanted to have on this episode is, what does loving the person and tolerating the person who hurls bad seeds at us look like? What might be some helps for us? What might be some examples? I don't want to spend really any time at all talking about the bad examples of that, because we'd be here for a whole entire hour talking about the things that we would like to do to people who treat us poorly. But I think that it really matters. I think that this is a conversation that not many people talk about in the church, in church culture. That, you know, what do I do when people treat me poorly? And I'm not talking about the extreme of this. Like, we've talked at great lengths about spiritual abuse and church hurt. I'm talking about everyday relational conversations and behaviors.
Okay.
Co-workers, people on staff, people in the ministry, you know, whatever it might be,
yeah.
right? And keep in mind that I'm still going to maintain that this is not an us versus them conversation. Because as I've mentioned previously, we are at fault for hurling bad seeds at others too.
Yes.
So this is kind of like a softer gut check for us in regards to that whole concept, but more of a conversation about what do we do? How do we live? How do mm-hmm. we act? How do we feel? How do we think? How do we respond to the bad seed that is flung in our direction?
Right.
Does that sound cool?
Mm-hmm.
So, Andy?
Yeah.
Do you have any preliminary thoughts about this whole aspect?
I do.
Okay.
I just looked up some scripture. I went to the Bible.
That's a good thing.
To Matthew chapter 5.
Ooh.
Starting in verse 43, it says, "You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you only greet your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect."
Mm.
And I think that loving your enemies and praying for those who persecute you, verse 44, that's the verse I specifically thought of.
Yeah.
And it's kind of repeated over and over again in the Gospels, mm-hmm. to continuously do this.
Yeah. When you see that verse, when, you know, Jesus saying to love your enemies,
mm-hmm.
love those who oppose you,
yeah,
and pray for those who are causing you all kinds of just horrible
heartburn
and yeah, like,
right.
What does it look like, do you think, to love your enemies? Like, what would that look like?
Adopting the eternal perspective. And it just depends on the situation. I mean, maybe I offended somebody a while back and I didn't know I did something wrong, and they're just harboring bitterness. So every time I see them, they give me like grief, and I don't know why. Or they just lash out at me and I think that they're the bad guy. And really, I just don't know what to do about it. You know, if you don't know, you don't know, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So praying about it and adopting the eternal perspective can really help. Ultimately, we want to give God the glory, don't we?
Yes.
So if we go to Him in prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to start working on the situation and something comes of it, then God's glorified.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
So it's like, we are so caught up in wanting to solve our own problems all the time so that we can pat ourselves on the back. Oh, I'm such a good Christian. Oh, look what I did. I solved this problem. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's not the perspective we're looking for here.
So I have a question.
What?
What if the situation doesn't get resolved in a godly way? Is God still glorified in that? I mean, using your example,
right?
What if that person has a beef against me,
mm-hmm.
but they never bring that to me?
Right.
They just treat me terribly.
Yeah.
And I'm left going, what the heck, bro?
Right.
So my question is, how is God glorified in an unresolved situation, especially between two quote unquote brothers in Christ or sisters in Christ?
Mm-hmm.
I would suggest that the way that God is glorified is the way that we react to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
we always talk about, you know, we're not always going to win, but we always want to win. Wanting to have a good attitude for Him and to glorify Him so that you don't, you know, give Him a bad name.
Sure. I think that that might be somewhat along the lines of why Jesus is saying here in Matthew 5 to love your enemy and pray for the ones who persecute you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I am still actively loving an individual who is treating me like garbage, I'm putting Christ's love on display. Because isn't it also true that if we live for ourselves, we stand in direct opposition to God? Scripture says that apart from Christ, we are at enmity with Him.
Right, that's true.
And yet He still has patience and long suffering and grace and love for us,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that first of all, having that, as you said, the eternal perspective that I still need to love this person. I'm still commanded and called to love this person regardless of how they're treating me or talking to me or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But then when you go the extra step and pray for that person who is treating me poorly,
right,
not only does that keep my heart in the right place, it also demonstrates what Christ would do also. Because think about it this way. What were one of the seven things that Jesus uttered from the cross while he was dying? Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, even if you're angry and you're upset and you don't know what to do, going to the Lord and saying, Lord, I'm upset, I'm angry, and I don't know what to do, right, gives him glory.
Yeah. Be angry, yet do not sin.
Yeah.
It's okay to be angry. Scripture doesn't say you can't be angry.
Right.
It just says don't sin in your anger.
That's right. Right.
You know, yeah. And I think that those are probably some of the most honest prayers to pray. Lord, I really am angry at so-and-so and I want to rip their face off. Help me.
Gee, you sound so loving. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, isn't that a more loving thing to do than actually actively hurt the person?
Well, yeah.
Because you don't want to retaliate.
I don't even know what I would do.
Honestly, I'm not a violent person, man, guys.
I know you sound so terrible. Gosh. Yeah.
But do you see why I think this is such an important conversation? I don't think this aspect of the daily Christian life is talked about enough.
No.
It's hard. It's really, really hard. Like when people hurt you over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Does there ever come a point where you get to do something about it, or do you just have to sit there and take it?
Well, we've talked about this before, I think, on some of our other episodes about, you know, limiting your exposure or your time spent with people that do those kinds of things to you.
Sure.
Because you're not called to be a doormat or a punching bag.
Right.
You know.
It makes me think of 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting in verse 1, realize this, that in the last days difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. What do we do with these kind of people? Avoid such men as these.
Right. Well, there you go.
You don't have to sit there and take it, y'all.
You can avoid.
You can avoid.
Deflect.
Mm-hmm. Right. But be careful in the deflecting, because if you're actively deflecting, that might include a right cross.
Yeah, no.
I kid.
I'm imagining, you know, walking through the hallway as a high schooler and you see somebody that you don't like or you don't want them to see you, and you put your folder or your binder up in front of your face like you're sneaking around.
You know, that's really funny, because I was also thinking about how when I was in middle school, there was this kid named Paul that was just such a bully to me. And he like had his growth spurts before I did. Uh-huh. So he was a pretty good sized boy. And one day, I think it was in the seventh grade, one day he just walked up to me and flipped my hat off my head.
Oh yeah, classic.
And then he just started doing it over and over and over again, day after day after day. And all through the eighth grade, you know, he got bigger and I didn't. And he was scary. And I would avoid this kid. Mm-hmm. Freshman year of high school, we both go to the same high school. We both turn out for the freshman basketball team. We both make the basketball team. He earns the starting power forward position. I'm the sixth man, so I'm the backup power forward. And him and I are just constantly, you know, going at it. And, you know, at one point during practice, I beat him to the glass to make a lay-in, and he punched me in the face to foul me so I couldn't make the basket.
Oh, man.
And I got up and was ready to go to blows with the guy, and my coach was like, get to the locker room. I got this.
Yeah.
I ended up leaving that school and going to a different school. And then in my senior year of high school, I was playing football for a different high school team, and the entire game I was lined up on the opposite line from Paul, the opposite side of the line as Paul, all night long. And he played dirty play after play after play after play, because guess what? He stopped growing, but I didn't. I was bigger than he was at this point. Mm. So the only way that he could get to me was to talk trash to me, to play dirty. And my teammates always had my back. They were like, just get in the huddle, just get in the huddle. And we ended up winning the game. Mm-hmm. And after the game was over, now you're talking about 6 years of hostility here.
Right.
That I, for all intents and purposes, had every right to just like rearrange the facial features of this young man. And we went through the line to high five the other team like you always are supposed to do. And when I came across and got to Paul, I stuck my hand out and said, great game, Paul. And we shook hands, and that was the last I ever saw of the guy. Now, to this day, I don't know what he thinks of me. I have a lot of thoughts about him.
I'm sure he's an avid listener.
Well, he should be.
You never
Paul,
know.
This is for you. But my point is that, think, you know, I think back to like my freshman year when my coach stepped in and intervened. Like, saw the problem. Mm. And knew what the problem was and stood in the gap for me. Said, Heath, go to the locker room. I got this.
Right.
And he took care of it. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have to worry about Paul for the rest of that basketball season. My senior year of high school, lined up on the opposite side of the line. When I recognized who I was lined up against, I was in the huddle with my boys and I was like, you aren't going to believe this. And during a timeout, like, I explained to them who this guy was. And they all were like, don't you worry about him. We got you. Mm-hmm. And my point in this like super long story about Paul is that, in my opinion, it really paints a glorious picture of the advocate that we have with our Savior, mm-hmm, in the midst of these moments of trial and tribulation, and the support that we have around us as well.
Right.
Because while on the one hand, yes, we are told to avoid people like this, but there are times when those people are unavoidable. There are times when they come at us. There are times when, I mean, how do you avoid somebody that you share a cubicle with? How do you avoid somebody that you share an office space with? How do you avoid somebody that you serve in ministry with? How do you avoid a family member? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, there inevitably are people that we are required to routinely and regularly cross paths with that cause us grief. Mm-hmm. Or as you put it, heartburn.
Right.
So avoiding them is more or less out of the question. So it's in those moments that I feel like the verses you read in Matthew 5 especially apply, you know, to have a heart of love, mm-hmm, and to pray for them. But you still don't have to take it. Mm-hmm. Like, you still don't have to take it. You can still speak up for yourself. You can still, you know, tell that person, I really don't like the way that you're treating me. I mean, here's the thing. Matthew 18 is a beautiful kind of ace up your sleeve when you have these moments of conflict that persist for long periods of time. To go to your brother or sister in Christ in private and show them their fault. Like, that responsibility still is yours.
Right.
You can't like go away cowering in frustration because there's never been a conversation about it. There still is a responsibility and onus on our shoulders to go to that person in love and gently rebuke them and say, hey, I don't like when you do this to me. Could you please knock it off? Now it's like swatting the tennis ball to the other side of the net. Now this is on their shoulders.
Oh, you mean like setting a boundary?
Bingo. Bingo. Boundaries.
Creating a boundary.
Yes. Boundaries are biblical. Boundaries are biblical. So I don't know. I know that Paul story was pretty lengthy, but it's to me, like, I lived that for 6 years with a bully. And I wish that I would have had some form of instruction to be able to like have a conversation with the guy. Mm-hmm. Even if it would have meant that we would have had been separated because we would have started scrapping. But to kind of have the tools in my toolbox, if you will, on how to deal with that type of conflict would have been extremely beneficial for me at 15, 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
Not to mention at my age now. You know, which is, you know, I'm much older and I'm much wiser. I still don't get this right all the time because you know what, Andy?
What?
I don't like it when people do bad things to me.
Oh, really?
I really don't. Especially when I have no idea why they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, like I just don't get it. Mm. I just don't get it. But I'm still called to love. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times where I'm just quiet. You know, I don't say a word, and I'm not trying to put myself on the same level as Jesus, but I can appreciate where it says that when he was before his accusers, he uttered not a word. Mm-hmm. My silence is not necessarily agreement. It's not necessarily concession. It's more, what's the point in saying anything? Because mm-hmm. I'm not going to change their mind or their behavior, right?
Right.
So that's where that praying for your enemies that are persecuting you, loving your enemies who are persecuting you. Like that's where that kind of, where the rubber meets the road in effect. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What other thoughts might you have?
Well, how important it is to choose your friends wisely.
Yeah. I think my parents used to say, choose your friends. Don't let your friends choose you.
Yeah.
That's a little worldly, but you know.
Yeah. My parents said that too, actually, surprisingly enough. And it makes me think of Proverbs 13:20. It says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we bring heartache and a heartburn on ourselves just because we choose to surround ourselves with people that do this to people.
Why do we do that?
I don't know.
Is it maybe because we had something in common with the person?
Yeah.
That maybe we could, you know, hang out with them or whatever? I mean, a lot of times it's out of our control. Like if we're co-workers or co-laborers in the ministry or whatever. But you bring up a really good point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I don't know. It just happens sometimes. Sometimes you get lured in because of you. I mean, maybe you're a nice person and you get taken advantage of.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Facts.
And you just can't say no. And it's really hard to say no.
Because I'm such a likable guy and I do so many wonderful things for people that people want to have me on their team, right?
Right. Or you feel sorry for somebody.
Mm.
And I mean, these are... Sometimes it's good to, I mean, you obviously, as a Christian, we want to help people.
Yeah.
But
being hospitable to one another.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But then sometimes, you know, people latch on to you and they're not healthy.
They take advantage of it.
Yep.
Yep. And then that one time that you're like, no, I'm not going to be there. And they just like explode all over you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That sucks.
Yeah.
To be brutally honest, Andy.
Right. What?
Our culture is a really tough nut to crack because we're so divisive and we're so hurtful to each other in the name of Jesus. Like there are so many, there is so much pain that has been caused. There is so much divisiveness that has been reached because, you know, in the name of God.
Yeah.
And that is not our goal.
No.
Our goal is not to divide. Our goal is to have real, genuine, honest conversations about good things, about bad things, about things we need to hear, not always necessarily what we want to hear. Because mm-hmm. I think that's what Jesus is in the business of doing with his bride anyway.
Right.
Telling us what we need to hear, even when it stings a little. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's people in the church culture that still kind of get their jollies on cutting other believers down. While on the one hand, nowhere in scripture are you going to find an example of where you have to just let people walk all over you, you're also not going to find anywhere in scripture anything that says you should stuff it and keep all your feelings to yourself.
Right.
Because neither one of those things accomplish unity in the faith. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right. So when someone shoots you with bad seeds with the BB gun...
Or the machine gun, or the bazooka.
What are we going to do?
We're going to tell our mommy about it.
Right.
No, I think that your reminder from Matthew 5 is a really, really great kind of go-to verse.
Yeah.
A safety net for us.
Mm-hmm.
I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, Jesus says that the world will know that we're his disciples in the way that we love each other.
True.
And sometimes the way that we love our brothers and sisters in Christ is to say nothing in retaliation, to do nothing in retaliation, and just keep our mouths shut and give it to the Lord in prayer and let him advocate for us.
Right.
Let him handle the situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It also doesn't hurt, I think, to have a couple of really close friends that you can lean on.
That's true.
Like my boys from the football team. They had my back. They carried me through that whole game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I couldn't have done it without them, you know. And that is such a beautiful picture, in my opinion, of discipleship. That we're in this together.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's that one person that just, or more, that BB guns us with seeds till the cows come home, we have a remedy, at least for the condition of our hearts. Because I think that at the end of the day, that's what we have to give an account for, right?
Right.
The condition of our own hearts.
Mm-hmm.
We're not necessarily responsible for the way that so-and-so is behaving.
No, that's true.
And honestly, Andy, I think it's a good thing to say, you know what? So-and-so is the Lord's problem. He's got me.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Well, and when something like that happens, it doesn't hurt to go to the Lord and ask him to show you if there's anything that you should be looking at for yourself, like any sin or any bad attitude or, you know.
Like David prayed in the Psalms.
Yeah.
Search my heart and see if there be any unclean thing in me.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's part of that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. You can't tell me that in those moments when I'm talking to the Lord. I know you can't, because this happens. This happens. If I have an issue with somebody and I actually go to the Lord and say, hey, so-and-so did this and I'm upset about it, 9 times out of 10, the Lord's like, well, you did this. And this is probably why they're acting that way.
Mm-hmm.
And that's still grace. That's because true. Jesus prioritizes the relationship over retaliation,
mm-hmm.
over recompense. And I think that remembering that vengeance belongs to the Lord is crucial. Because if we were the ones that sought revenge,
right,
we're not loving our enemies and we're definitely not praying for them.
Right.
So I guess in summary, what I would say, in all seriousness, it is a known fact of the Christian life that there are people who just give us heartburn. But at the end of the day, we're responsible for our hearts before a holy God. Mm-hmm. And when people give us heartburn, we got to love them enough to pray for them so that the Lord can show us if there's any unclean thing in our hearts and help us have the eternal perspective and seek reconciliation and restoration of the relationship.
And that's all we have to say about that.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Churchosity Podcast, the show where we try to give you the Gen X take on church culture. And thank you once again, as always, to my phenomenal wife and outstanding co-host.
You're very welcome. Be sure to follow us on all the socials. That's Facebook and Instagram. Our tag is at Churchosity Pod. Drop us a message and give us your feedback, because we'd really love to hear from you.
And don't forget to become a Churchosity Patreon supporter. For the mere cost of a medium-sized latte, you too can support us and receive cool perks like early access to new episodes, bonus episodes, and more. Look for us at patreon.com/churchositypod. And don't forget to spread the word about Churchosity Podcast by just simply telling a friend to tell a friend what we're doing here.
Yeah, let them be a part of the conversation too.
But always remember that the goal of our instruction is love.
From a pure heart.
And from a good conscience.
And a sincere faith.
So we thank each and every one of you once again for listening, and we hope to catch all of you on the next episode of Churchosity Podcast. Peace.